Supernatural.
You will not believe what exists beyond. Strange occurrences.
Paranormal.
Join us on a journey to uncover disturbing truths.
Haunted.
Investigating the strange.
Unexplained.
Prepare to explore the paranormal and unknown. Join us as we seek for truth. Welcome to Strange Occurrences. Here now are your hosts, Myron St. John and Joshua Hayes.
Welcome to Strange Occurrences. This is your host, Myron St. John.
Mr. St. John, Joshua Hayes here. Greetings and salutations.
That's good.
I'm going to do the whole podcast in this voice and try and scare you, but I think that might be impossible.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good bet.
Because we're going into your wheelhouse of scary stuff.
My wheelhouse, yeah, that's right. Episode 14, here we are with the haunted prison experience, or never before heard haunting, more never before heard hauntings, mm-hmm. of the place I did one of the largest and one of the top haunts, not only in Ohio but in the country, at the old OSR,
Ohio State Reformatory,
in Mansfield, Ohio.
Yeah.
Well, before we get to all that good stuff, recapping last episode on haunted objects, had people that have come to the game room. I just told you that story.
Yeah.
Our avid listeners. And
people loving this one.
They had played some games, and they wanted me to bring out the screaming woman from the back room, and I reluctantly did. And the one woman, she looked at it, she freaked, she ran and stood in the line. She wouldn't go. I said, do you want to touch it? She said, no, and she ran out there.
Wow.
And then we were talking about the James Dean car, and, mm-hmm. and went back and forth on that, and we found a bunch of articles that support it, and also people that say, no, that's not the way it works. But anyway, it was a fun article to do, and they're everywhere. So it was good. So anyway, that being said, we want to give some shout-outs today. I want to shout out to a couple of guys, a Jeff and a guy named Hawk that used to work for at the Haunted Prison Experience, security, and we've remained pretty good friends after all these years. And they shared some very interesting paranormal stories with me that we're going to be going over today as well. And I also want to give a shout out to an avid listener and a paranormal aficionado named Andrew, just happens to be my grandson.
What up, buddy?
How about that?
Nice.
There you go, Andrew. You got somebody?
Yeah, I have a few. They really enjoyed that last episode. Patty and Jim, Carrie, Taylor, and Pamela. Good friends that are getting into it, listening to some of our past episodes. And I don't know if it's because Halloween's approaching, but a lot of people are really getting back into the haunted stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's October.
October.
So fortunately, this episode will air right before the Halloween, so we can get it. Anyway, haunted prison experience. Everybody knows, if you listen to the first couple episodes, I'd been out there for 15 years, and we talked about hauntings that took place before, some during, some after, and different times of year, and that I worked a couple ghost hunts out there. Anyway, what we're going to talk about today is these are events, if you will, that took place actually during the haunted house itself.
Yeah.
Now, so people that memorized 15 years, that haunt was so big and popular, we set all kinds of attendance records at the place that I believe have not been broken. Haunt of the year twice. We were on the top 13 haunts in America a couple of times.
I believe.
Yeah, award-winning haunt. I filmed like 3 PBS specials there about the haunted prison and some other places. And, you know, we took this this place from basically nothing, and we instituted this thing, and we built it up to this massive thing over 15 years. And the contractor's up, and for whatever reasons, you know, I don't want to go in there. I don't like to disparage people or places, but I think they just wanted to keep all the money.
Oh, sure. And after 15 years, that's an incredible amount of work put into these things. Oh, it's 1 month worth of work. No, it's not.
Yeah, well, it's like I did a job, you know, for 15 years and you retire out of there. So, you know, new people took it over, not very successfully at first. And then I guess they're doing okay now.
Oh, good. Okay.
But, and then later on, we're going to list some top haunts in the state and the country. That will not be on it. For not because I'm not doing anymore, but because I don't think it's has matched what a particular level that I look at some of these haunts. But that being aside, we're going to get in all these haunted things and places that are actually, some of them are actually haunts that take place in haunted places like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And other ones aren't. But to give you an overview of what we're going to do, and you're going to touch base and on a lot of things. As we talk, never-before-heard hauntings and the haunted prison experience here in Strange Occurrences. Stay tight, because we're going to jump right into it when we come back. All right, back with Strange Occurrences, Byron St. John.
Happy Halloween. Hello, folks. Joshua Hayes.
That's right, here with the Haunted Prison Experience and Never Before Heard Hauntings. More Never Before Heard. I keep saying it's more Never Before Heard Hauntings. And let's jump right into it. So, you know, yeah. When I was doing the haunt, I always change the theme. We tried to do the themes. In the last 3 years I did it, I called it supernatural for a lot of reasons. But we did say, one of our catch tags on this place, on what it did to Haunted Prison Experience, was it's the place where the supernatural meets the special effects.
Mm-hmm.
That was our catchphrase, and for good reason, because not only was I doing probably the most haunted prison in the country, but all kinds of crazy stuff would go on during this haunt, during the haunt. Now, like I said, we had talked a couple episodes before about the hauntings at the place. But this was actually during the haunt, more during the haunt than I talked to. And I talked about the people seeing the lady on the stairs and people seeing the phantom guards and things. But I've got some things here that'll give you the willies, I think, a little bit.
Okay. Can't wait.
So when you get to the place, it's and when I did it, I got to use the big administration. So I got to use almost the whole place. I don't think the new guys could do that. But anyway, when we were doing the whole place, many times people in the crowd, you'd see them pointing and going, ooh, I go, what are they? You know, if I was out front, they would see faces in some of the windows. Now, obviously, they think, oh, it must be it. No, the actors were not relegated to areas where they could actually look out the windows, and for good reason, you know?
Yeah.
And not because of that, but because we want them to be scaring people and doing what they're doing. So, of course, radio calls to security, and they would go check it out, and they couldn't find anybody.
You got that, the warden's office from Shawshank right up front, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but that was out of bounds.
Is that a different?
Well, when I did the haunted prison, we had a lot of restrictions. We couldn't do this, we couldn't do that, oh, we couldn't do this, yeah. You know? And which is kind of weird, because they're doing like everything they said I couldn't do now. So I don't know why that changed. But I think by me following those protocols, I think a lot of the paranormal stuff stayed active. And I think that liked all the people coming through. So we had a lot of faces going on. And when we did our music, I instituted this new thing using MP3 players. And the prison at that time, we were very, very scarce on electrical outline. So we relied on batteries sometimes on these, and we had a guy that would go through and check the batteries like every 2 hours, and he'd have a big sack and carry the batteries. And many times he'd replace a battery and leave brand new batteries, and immediately the things were drained.
Wow.
Like in instant. And it was it got, and sometimes they'd go all night, and but many, many times he'd put a battery in and he'd get all the way down off the cell blocks and he'd hear it stop. He'd go, oh my God, he'd go up there and the battery's dead. Because, you know, that it drains a lot of stuff out of that, you know. And because we had incredible sound in the place, how we did that. Now, when you went through the haunt and you start and you go up the stairs and you go around, I'd use the administration building. The third floor administration, which is where if people remember or haven't heard the episodes, they should go listen to it. And that's the one that Shelley talked about, Monica chasing the ghostly figure
right
through. Many times up there, even the security guards would say they would see shadow people. And they would think that people in groups were getting out of line and trying, not finding anybody.
You had the lady in white, right? You smelled the roses or whatnot.
Yeah, you even up there, during the haunt, as loud as it is, you would go up there. If you went by that area, you could smell the flowers.
Wow.
And I had security guys, and eventually we blocked it off. They couldn't get near the chapel. One time we took them down by the chapel. We didn't do that for years, but we had security guys in there, and I remember this one guy called up, and he goes, "Hey, can you come up here for a second?" So I would get one of the other guys, and we would go up. I go, "What's going on?" He goes, "I am telling you, man, I swear to God, I was watching the group, and something came up and touched me, and there's nothing there. And I thought I saw someone go into the chapel." And he goes, "I got up there now." So we would go up and search the chapel. And of course, there's nothing there.
Right.
And he got so unnerved, I had to change security guards because he was getting a little freaked out. And he made the mistake. I said, "Well, I think I want to do solitary." I said, "You sure you want to do that?" "I think you're better off." And he didn't last very long down there either.
Understandably so, too. I mean, when that stuff happens, there's hundreds of people, thousands maybe, that the hair pulling, being touched, or when you hear something in your ear.
Yeah.
It's, man, off the charts. And the environment surrounding you is already putting that chill up your spine.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. And here's the thing. So the third floor was relatively active, and then we went down to the second floor, and we didn't get all in the administration, and we didn't always do the entire second floor, because part of that second floor was a little freaky, and that's where they would see a lot of faces from this one room in particular. We never used it. And so I pretty much kept people away from it, partly for that reason, but mostly because, like I said, a lot of times actors between groups will go and want to look out when, and they couldn't do it the way I had it set up, and we kept doors locked or screwed shut, and they couldn't get there. But yeah, the third floor was relatively active, especially during Halloween, and a lot of unusual things would happen there. Animatronics would malfunction for no reason, or actors would be in a room and the group would go through and all of a sudden the thing would go off. There's nobody near the sensors.
Wow.
Scare the crap out of the actors.
Which I was doing.
So and as they got down and we would take them all the way through and they would go through the central guard room, and not much happened in the central guard too much because it was so big and it was a holding period. But when they got into this other area, what we call West Diagonal, and they would go through the West Diagonal, and that's right above solitary. There's an area up there. And if you've never been there, this probably won't make any sense to you. But if you've been there, you'll know what I'm talking about. So you go through West Diagonal, you go through this one area. And they had an area off to the, where we walked, to the right side, where they had banks of phones with screens. So basically the prisoners would go in there and sit down and pick up the phone and talk to their people, the
right.
good prisoners, the hardcore guys, because the other guys could talk to them in Central Guard at the time. And we kept that relatively blocked off as well because we didn't want them going into these little areas. And on the opposite side of this hallway, there was a full metal area, a screen area. And I don't know what they use it. I think they probably used it for a holding area. And we used to have a guy in there that would do a spark grid, and that's with a battery and a metal rod, and it would scare the crap out of people, and they'd love it.
Electric shock vibe.
Yeah. And so I can't tell you how many times the guy would tell me, or we'd get a call up there, and the guy said, "Who's the other guy up here with me?" I go, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "The guy standing over there." And I said, "You see somebody?" He goes, "Well, I did. He was just standing in the corner, and there's nobody there." And that was like a shadow person. And he would be doing his thing with his spark grid, and people would be screaming, and he'd look over, and he said, "I swear to you, man, there's a guy standing right there in the corner." And he said, "I thought it was a guy in a black hood just standing there." Wow. And he said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I was scaring the people, and sometimes he would open the door and then, like, run out and, like, try to chase him. And he'd come back, and the guy was gone." He said, "I just figured the guy left." So he would have all this unusual place, and that place was always And I had people in a group saying, oh, that was a cool effect you did with the guy on the ceiling. I said, yeah.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, a lot of work.
Yeah, so I would thank the spirits for adding in their thing. And then you would go down into the solitary area. Now, this was bizarre because I talked about the phantom guards down there. But there were two levels of solitary. So you went down the stairs, and they had the big metal, mesh metal doors and bar doors. And we'd keep those shut, and we'd make sure they were locked with chains or zip ties. I only used the top part of solitary once because it wasn't in very good shape, and I didn't want to do that to people. So they would have to walk around there and then go down the last flight, and they would only work that one side of solitary. And at the bottom of the stairs, that one door, that's where people would see the guards. But many times when they would walk through the top tiers, they said, oh, that actor in that one doorway scared me. You know, it was great. And there's no actors. You know, something would just, they would just see this thing come up to the door, right?
Yeah.
And they would hear these noises or voices. And we didn't have that up there. I purposely had no sound on that floor to break up the sound. Because when you're coming out of a loud area and you hit the dead silence, it's even more silent.
Yeah.
And then when you get down to solitary, when they look down that hallway, we had some low-lying sound effect going, very low, couldn't hear anything. But you look down there, and the hallway was like just jet black, except for one little blue light that illuminated the step area. And I can't tell you when I would go down there behind these groups how many times people would look down there. And I remember these girls would look down there and they go, oh, hell no. And they would have to go down there. Now, that side, that's where you had your incident. Mm-hmm. In a lot of instances. And when they would go down there, that's where I would get a lot of complaints. And not for bad, but they said, something's grabbing me. You're not supposed to touch us. Because I wasn't a haunt that you grab people. And I always thought that you got to grab people that you're not doing something right. You're not scaring them. But they would get grumpy. And that's where that one cell is with that creepy spirit. Is. Somebody says, well, why did you go down that way? Well, unfortunately, that's how the path led. And that side was actually cleaned out enough to where you could do that. So we had that a lot. And a lot of times the security guys would see someone in a cell or going into a cell. And they'd go, hey, stay out of the cells. Because, you know, we've had many occasions people go down there and go in a cell being funny and they shut the door and the door locks.
Yeah.
I actually had a couple that did that, and they were stuck in the cell and they were going, help, let us out. And people thought they were part of the show. So they ignored them. Till a security guy came by and said, so we would have to go down there with pry bars and pop those locks open because the metal bars you pull to open the lock, they don't work anymore. No. So then it happened a lot of times. People,
it's what you get.
So and people say, why don't you log them open? Well, you do that, but the trouble is the doors are so big that even if you zip them or whatever you do, they'll pull them apart. Yeah, and like I said, we had restrictions because it was a historic site. You couldn't do certain things. Anyway, so digressing. So many times we saw that. So one of the things that happened to my one security guy, and I would throw his name out there, Jeff, I talked about. He had an incident that unnerved him. And what happened was he was going through solitary. And he came out through solitary. And when you come out of solitary, there was, I haven't been, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But when I was there was a caged area there. And a barred area across, we went down to the hole the other way, and then you went out into the bullpen. And he had come out of there, and there's a lot of people, so he backed up in a solitary, and we had a false wall there to the other side of solitary, so they couldn't go there. And he was looking for the next group to come down, and he looked back into the bullpen. He was going to go, and when he looked back down solitary, he saw something come out of a cell, a black figure, and stand there. And he was like, and he thought it was a customer. But he said he looked at it, and he could look past it, almost through it.
Translucent, like?
Well, he got an extremely bad, unnerving, and cold feeling with it. And he was, what's the word he looked for? He said he felt, if I remember correctly, he had a hopeless feeling. It made him feel real vulnerable.
Vulnerable,
yeah. And he says a real dark feeling, like negative energy. And he goes, and this guy, I mean, he doesn't get scared of things. I mean, you know, he worked at places and he had a tough nickname. They called him Nitro, big
right,
guy.
Right.
But he said, I'll be honest with you, man, it was enough, he said, to make him freeze, and it scared him. And, but he said, it's not like, oh, you scared me type of thing. It was like, this is something I don't know, and I don't understand what it is. And he said, so what he did, he just kept looking down the hall, and eventually he went in to the bullpen. I remember him mentioning it to me, later, and he said, basically, he steered clear of solitary after that. Those type of things will, I guess, take you out of your comfort zone enough to where your mind will not rationalize everything that happened. And it's the same area I hear time after time in solitary that I had an experience when people got hit with stones or scratched or groped. I mean, I remember Destination Fear, Dakota sent his sister down there and said, hey, grab her, grope her. And she goes, what are you doing? I'm surprised it didn't happen to her that night, because that thing, whatever in the cell, that one cell, it's right before the split. That thing's nasty, and I don't even think it has a human essence to it anymore. It's very dark down there. And that's one of those things you really just can't.
How many people?
You can't get rid of it.
And well, let me go back, because I went and visited. I forget what year it was, but I remember getting there, and it was daylight, maybe 6 o'clock, 7. Mm-hmm. And the line was like a line at Cedar Point. It was like thousands of people. And I remember whipping out my cell phone like, dude, can you get me up in the front of the line?
Yeah.
And you got me up there, which was really appreciated. But once we got in there, the lighting that you had set up, like you said, the effects, the sound. I remember there was a girl that went flying by us backwards, like she couldn't make it. Like, on a given night, how many people didn't make it through there?
Oh, any night you were...
Did you refund them or not?
No.
I mean, that's their deal.
You enter at your own risk, and if you don't make it, you don't make it. We had, it was always 100 or so, maybe more, a couple hundred. But, wow. You know, we did we did several thousand a night, but that's a pretty good number. And... but many times, like I said, the customers will say, hey, that's a cool effect. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people would see people standing, because, you know, those cell blocks, the one's 6 stories, one's 5 stories, people would see people on the cell blocks looking down at them. And we thought people, I mean, I kind of knew it wasn't. But our protocol said you have to investigate it. So I would send security guys to the cell blocks to run the gambit with their lights.
And double check, make sure.
Well, it's kind of a cool effect. People see all these guys running around in the cell blocks going, oh, what's going on, what's going on? But it's because they saw people up there. And you want to make sure that, because people at Halloween, they get a little crazy and they try to go, if it says do not enter and it's blocked off, they try to crawl through because they want to, you know.
Yeah.
And it's for their safety, but they never find anything. You know, it's like the Black Shadow Man on the east cell block on the one air. People would see him. And I mean, I've seen him a couple times. The fellow that... what's his name? Fly, that set himself on fire.
Yeah.
You know, we always saw that. So the thing is, when I said it's a place where the supernatural meets special effects, we weren't kidding. We were serious. I mean, I had haunt reviewers that would come out and say they had emails from people saying they had seen specters or things, or they're walking in the line. And especially coming out of solitary, people say there was somebody like right next to me. And it wasn't my boyfriend or it wasn't my girlfriend. And they were there and they were gone. And some people said, that was a cool effect. How did you do it? I would always say, I wish I knew. but we had some very, very crazy events that happened in there. You could always hear slamming doors. And my actors weren't doing that. Those, some of those doors you couldn't even move. They wouldn't even open.
Yeah.
But she would have that all the time. And like you said, the smells. And I didn't do the scented fog. We didn't even use foggers in there because of the, they had this funny fire alarm system. And we used fog 1 year and a set up fire alarm. So some haunts use these the scents, which is kind of a neat thing. I didn't really need them in there because the place had its own scent.
I felt every turn, every time you got in the black, it was jump scare central.
Right.
I mean, all the actors did a great job, but it was the ambience of the prison itself. And when we got done, I remember once I got outside, I wanted to get outside at the end of it and just breathe fresh air.
Right.
Like, I didn't want to be in there anymore.
Well, you know, my one guy, Hawk, told me some stories. And I remember him telling me about this. And he called me up, and he was excited about it. And he thought it was pretty cool later on. But I'll get into that in a second. But we had both about in the West Cell Block, I started doing a thing. And I guess they still do it, but I started it. I originated this idea. We were doing a thing. We would put abandoned cars in the west side of the cell block, and I'd make them look like they were on fire, you know, mm-hmm. like a... type of thing. And I started that Go God back in like 2009. I started doing that. And anyway, it was a good effect. It filled up the blocks. But the guy working with security down in the West Block, and my guys would patrol and they would wait on groups, and then they would pull themselves back against the wall or partly in a cell and watch the groups go by and make sure that no one was doing something stupid. And he was down there waiting on a group to come up from the cell, and he looked the other way, and he saw someone in the hallway walk into a cell. And he goes, oh, for God's sakes. So he went down there. He said, hey, get out of the cells. You know, cause we had to keep people out, because people don't realize that in the dark, those cells, they had bunk beds that would hang down. We actually had some people go into them and smack their heads on, because you can't see.
And they're nasty and rusty.
And they would, you know, then we'd have to take them up to the EMTs and get them cleaned up. And anyway, so he went down there, and he went to the cell that he saw the person walk in, and the door's closed, and he couldn't open the door, and there's nobody in the cell. And the door is shut. Some of those are, like, rusted, and they were locked, at least when I was there. And he was like, oh, my God, that was weird. And I know right where it's at down West Cell, if people that know the prison, you go down West Cell Block out of the bullpen, and you go on the north side, you get about halfway, a little more than halfway down. There's also another entrance to the right that goes back to a shower room and upstairs to where they used to have, they filmed some Shawshank stuff. But those cells at that end, those doors, you couldn't get them open. And this is where he saw this person go. And it kind of unnerved him. And the funny thing about it is, he said, like a year later, he was watching at Ghost Hunters where they had some like trainees, and they were at OSR. And one of the trainees using a FLIR down at that area had a person, what they thought, come out and like look around and go back in there. And when they went down at the door, he said, it's the exact same spot. And I remember he called me that very night. He said, are you watching Ghost Hunters? You know, I said, yeah, I'm watching. He says, well, that's exactly what I said. I got you, you know. So he was excited. And that happens. It happens everywhere.
Yeah, you get those affirmation confirmations over and over again.
Yeah, some other things that used to go on is when you go to the east block, the opposite block, that's the one, the freestanding, that's where the shadow figure is. There was that area I always mentioned to you once about, you know, could always smell the fresh bakery. It was the bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And legendary became the toilet room.
Right.
Many times, there was a cell kind of right across from that, and it was open. But this one cell, because they had these like little tables in there and these metal trunks, they would keep, I do it every show. they had the little trunks in there. This one trunk was, and they had a shelf. This one still had the shelves on the walls. And so some of the actors and security guys that would go, and they would keep their bottles of water or Gatorade up on these shelves.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're on patrol, they can just duck in there and get a drink and keep going, right? So he remembers it was this one October, and I think it was 2007 or 2008 we were there. It was an unusually warm October. It was really warm.
Like this year, actually.
Yeah. And in those cell blocks, when you're down there, I mean, and even though the heat rises, it's kind of humid. down on the main floors. And he remembers telling me that they would keep all their stuff in the cell. And anywhere else you would keep these bottles, if you kept it on the bunk or you kept it in a different cell, as you know, with bottles of water, things just get warm after a while.
Right.
But he said everything on this shelf stayed cold all night.
Hmm.
He even did an experiment once. He put a bottle up there and a bottle down there on the edge of the bunk, and he put a bottle on the shelf, Gatorade. And they were both cold. And in the night, the one on the bunk got warm because it was warm. One on the shelf stayed cold. And that one cell, and that became one of the things that you keep your stuff on that. And for whatever reason, it stayed cold. And there's no explanation for that.
He did an experiment. And
he did an experiment and worked out, looked out right, you know. And when you came out of the cell blocks, you would go up to the through a mezzanine. And I told you that the mezzanine is that one area we can never keep an actor in because there was always something going on in that room. And the shutters, we had shutters that worked. And sometimes the guys would say those shutters would go off when no one was there, which is kind of funny. So you used to walk down the hallway of the mezzanine, and you would go into an area called the mail room. And when you went down, if you were going towards the mailroom, there was a little hallway to the left that led back to an office. And at that time, that was their ghost hunt office. And I believe it's been covered over by now. They sealed it off and going another way. But I remember going in there, and I used to duck out. As a matter of fact, that's the story I told you about where Kane Hodder put the little creepy guy in there to scare the girls.
Yeah.
he actually
turned that corner and bam.
It made him jump once. Anyway, guy went in the cell, not in the cell, the guy went in, Hawk went in this area because groups were coming through. And he said he stood there in the dark watching the groups go through, and he felt a presence. And he said he felt like cobwebs on your face. And I talked about the cobwebs before, and we all know that is a presence of something, whatever, an ethereal hand or whatever going across your face. And it kept going, it kept happening, and he kept wiping his face like, get out, and he kept doing it. So I finally said, will you stop it? And it stopped. And he said, unfortunately for him, he didn't have any other experiences after that. But I remember going in there, one of my tech guys would go in there, and he's standing there, and I heard him rumble around. I said, what are you doing? He goes, something's grabbing my hammer. He had one of those belts with a hammer on. And it was in this one little hallway, and it was a creepy little hallway. It wasn't very long, but that was right before the mailroom. And I remember the guys, we had what we call a stoplight that would direct the people to go down into the basement at that point. I remember many of them saying that we would come in the room. He goes, yeah, somebody went in that hallway. Because, you know, you got it. Well, like I said, we try to keep the people out of those areas.
Yeah.
And we'd go, and there's nobody in the hallway. So they would see that. That was kind of stuff going on all the time. And then when they got to the basement was another unique thing. When you go down to the basement, and you turn, you have to turn right because the basement ends. When you turn right, it's a hallway that goes up to the end, and there was a regular door that leads to a room that leads to outside. But on the right side was a metal mesh door. And people would always talk, actors and stuff, and even before the haunt and during the haunt, that this room was particularly active. The lights were always on or off, depending on what time you'd go through there. So it had a hasp on it, and we kind of just used our story. I never put anybody in there. So we would put we had a little hasp, and we would zip tie it in case we had to get in it. Because I did store some stuff in there. I didn't keep a lock on it. And many times, and it happened to one of the security guys, a couple of actors, something would slam something up against that. Bang! And it was a great scare, but there's nobody in the room. That was one of those rooms when you went in, and the air was extremely heavy, especially at that time of year. And I remember going down there once, and the light was on. I go, during a haunt, which is not a good thing.
Yeah.
So we'd have to cut the zip tie and turn it off, and it happened. I finally took the light bulb out because it, whatever was screwing with the light. But I can't tell you how many times people would come in and say something. Like something threw, there was like some old metal stools in there, and they said it sounded like someone threw a stool against the door.
Wow.
And that was pretty creepy stuff with that. And the basement itself was just bizarre. Now, that particular area was really, that was the one area. And then there's another area when you get into the back part of it, there's this kind of fumbling down wall. People said they would see something peeking their head on. They thought it was an actor. I did have an actor in the first couple of years, and then it was such a funny little area. I thought I could use that person better in a bigger area. So, because, you know, the basement was the morgue for a while, a makeshift morgue for a while. You know, we had a camera in the other one. We called the scare cam. We had a thing in the lobby, people waiting to get in. They would say, oh, if you look, you might see something. One night they did. A raccoon was down there and stuck his face right up into the camera.
Oh, wow.
It freaked everybody out. It was kind of funny. I did have some people say that they saw like a foggy mist float around down there. So that was another weird one. And other than that, during the prison, you know, lights on, lights off, people, different things. But those are the type of things. I think people came to the haunt hoping to experience that stuff, and they did. So they got it all the way around. Now, what goes on there now, I don't really know. But when I was there, like I said, the place where the supernatural meets the special effects, those hauntings I just talked about all happened, and they happened recurrent on a recurring basement, and it made for a most unusual time at a haunted house.
It's a double whammy. You're in the real thing, and then you get all the entertainment value as well.
You do. It was fun, and I want to throw out, because we didn't cover those on the first scope, so I wanted to cover them now. So if people are going to the places that are haunted, remember, when we're going to talk about a few of those in a minute, but if you go to a place that is actually haunted and they have paranormal investigations and they're having a haunted house, maybe, like my place used to have, some of the things you experience might just be the real deal. Hang on, we'll be right back on Strange Occurrences. Hey, welcome back. Myron St. John.
Joshua Hayes.
We were talking about the haunted prison experience and more never-before-heard hauntings, which we covered. And because it's the Halloween season, we do want to talk about some places that, other places than what I did, that are actually haunted and do haunted houses in them. And I have my own personal list. It's subjective to who you ask for, but I do have what I consider the top three. But Josh, you have some that you were investigating and researching online.
I did a lot of research. One on these actual websites for each location,
right?
And I got a handful of them. I thought that maybe be bucket list items to go check out.
Right.
And a lot of these have been on all the shows and whatnot. But my first one was Penhurst Asylum.
That's on my list. Yep.
100 Commonwealth Drive in Spring City, Pennsylvania, built in 1908, operated as a state school for the physically and mentally disabled, and was once perceived as a place that took care of those that resided there, but it eventually became evident, unfortunately, that it was basically a building of torture.
A lot of them were, yeah.
And a lot of mistreatment going on. It's a huge place. It spans 120 acres and even includes an underground tunnel system that was used to transport patients more easily. And then back in 86, the facility was actually forced to close. And an interesting fun fact, and then you can add on to this location. When the haunted house staff obtained the building for the attraction, they discovered a lot of the original medical equipment, the electrical shock, and real morgue were all still intact in the asylum.
Yeah.
So when you go through this place, to add what you were just talking about, you get an opportunity to tour the attraction, but you keep in mind that many of the things around you, in fact, are authentic, you know, remnants of that old state school.
That's right. It's a great place.
Like, you know, like if you're touching a metal bed, how many people might have died on that thing?
Or received lobotomies.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So I thought that was a that sounded really creepy, and I've seen that like Ghost Adventures. And
yeah.
That's a big real place to go on.
It is
ghost hunts and investigate paranormally.
It is absolutely. And you were talking about a place in New Orleans to me earlier.
Oh yeah, let me find that. That I had that right in the back here. It was that the not the Waverly House?
No, it was the mortuary.
It was called the Mortuary House.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing is called, during Halloween, the Haunted Mortuary, and it's located 4800 Canal Street, New Orleans. The house takes place in what is said to be an active, haunted, three-story building in New Orleans, the City of the what? The City of the Dead.
Oh, City of the Dead, yeah.
The building was constructed in... back in 1872 and was operated as a true mortuary for over 80 years. So you can imagine how many individuals have been in this.
They do. I believe they do paranormal investigations there, too.
They do outside of this Halloween thing.
Yeah, as Pennhurst does.
And this building, it was close. It closed because it was set on fire by an arsonist in 73. And a tie-in, it killed over 32 men. Like a building right next to this mortuary. So it wasn't the mortuary itself, but right next to. Right. So some believe that they didn't retrieve all the bodies that were taken out of the mortuary and vice versa out of that fire.
Damn.
Many visitors and workers at the mortuary have claimed to see charred-looking apparitions roaming the building, and they have, quote, documented 9 ghosts in the location since 2007.
Wow.
Pretty creepy. And on top of that, I thought a good fun fact was that street actually is less than 3 miles from the enchanting French Quarter, and like it dead ends from the French Quarter into that location. And there's a whole bunch of cemeteries right near there, too.
Yeah, dead end.
Dead end in the City of the Dead.
There we go. Yeah, that's a great place. You know, there's some other places. I mean, Waverly Sanatorium, Trans Allegheny, the old Western State Hospital. And we tell them the Whaley House.
The Whaley House as well, yeah.
Yeah, and Queen Mary.
Queen Mary, yeah.
All right.
So you want me to, why don't you throw one in and then we'll...
Well, I'm going to give, go ahead and talk about that. I'm going to give I want to talk about what I consider my top three.
Oh, gotcha. Okay,
in the country. As we get to that,
let me throw in the Waverly real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
That one located 4400 Pirelli Drive in Louisville, Kentucky, not far from what's the famous bar we talked about in our second episode.
Oh yeah, Bobby Mackey's. Bobby Mackey's. Right there. Absolutely.
So this place held over 400 patients. It's known as it has that Gothic style building look. It's gigantic. One of the creepiest parts of the property is a 500-foot tunnel.
They call that the death tunnel.
They transported the dead bodies, and so that like the living patients couldn't see them. The most well-known stories evolve around that room 502.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, that's
legit.
Well, it's like if you go into that room, you take a pair of scissors to cut the air. I mean, it's
that thick.
Oh, it's that thick. Yeah,
that's the one that involves the death of that nurse who hanged herself.
Well, you know, yeah, allegedly,
but
I mean, she died, and I mean, you know, it's, you hear a couple of stories, but I believe that that's to be all true. Yeah.
So what's crazy is when we're talking about death, there's been over 11,000 deaths in that place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
For Halloween season, it's called Spooktacular Waverly Hills Sanatorium Haunted House. I found really interesting on their website that they got regular ticket prices, and then they have something called not VIP, but RIP. Tickets. So that includes like an extra mini tour and the haunted house.
Right.
So, these places are all over the country. Amusement parks are doing a fantastic job in the month of October, doing all their haunted Halloween stuff.
Right.
The last one was that... Trans Allegheny, that's down in West Virginia.
Been there.
Have you been there?
Yes, I have.
Known as it was a state hospital.
Weston State Hospital, yeah.
And that asylum had the criminally insane for over 130 years after closing its doors in 94. The facility shares 269 acres.
It's huge.
Three graveyards, a morgue, forensic buildings, and a medical center and more. Now, many of the insane died within the asylum walls, and you can find stories about that. Lily, who's one of the resident ghosts of a little girl who supposedly haunts the halls there. Looks that the place, all these places have a look of fear to them. That whole institutional thing, these prisons and these hospitals and that.
Well, yeah, like when you go to Weston, Virginia, it's almost like when you go to see the Stanley Hotel and you go right downtown Weston. I mean, it's right there, bam! It's right down.
Just sticks out.
Sticking right. Well, it's actually a beautiful building, but the other ones are all creepy. Like I said, when I was there, they had a forensic building that supposedly housed the criminally insane, but they weren't letting anybody go back there. And the story was is they had performed like 100 or 250 lobotomies. Oh, and it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's play. But when we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about my top three haunted places that have haunted houses. And then we're going to talk about what I think are the top three just haunted houses to go to for fun Halloween in the state of Ohio, and then the top three in the country.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, we come back on Strange Occurrences.
Watch out.
Hey, welcome back, Strange Occurrences, Myron St. John.
Greetings, Joshua Hayes.
Yeah, we're on with the haunted prison experience, more never heard before hauntings, which we already did. And now we're talking about other places that do Halloween events in real haunted places. But we're going to expand on that a little bit. Real quick, somebody asked me, are you going to do a haunted house again? I don't know. Did it for a long, long time. However, recent events have brought up, I may revive the haunted prison experience up in this area.
Dude, do it. I mean, you are known for this in our region.
I mean, we're looking at something right now, but we'll see.
Okay.
It's a lot of time.
I know you're busy with this.
Yeah, it's a lot of time and energy. And talk about escape rooms, but you know, a lot of these places that we just talked about and ones we will talk, that's their side attractions. They all do escape rooms, and they do escape rooms throughout the year.
Oh, neat. Cool, yeah.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
Now, here's the top three. Now, these are three places that are actually haunted, paranormally haunted, and they have haunted paranormal investigations, and they do haunted houses that I think are off the charts on their haunts. Now, I'm going to digress. I'm going to do 3, 2, 1. So my third place is real close here. It's in Westland, Michigan, which is Detroit. It's called Eloise Asylum. It's over 54,000 square feet. Now, they tore a lot of it down, but it's still there. Now, the interesting thing about this place is they do paranormal investigations. You can rent the place out for film work, private parties, but they do paranormal investigations. But the haunt they do is incredible. The sets are phenomenal. The actors are really intent on what they do. And it is one of the best haunts I've seen in the country. It's Eloise Asylum. Look it up. We got a few things we want to cover, so we're going to run this real quick. My number two on my list, and like I said, and the Eloise, this a guy bought it, had never done anything, and he's built it up, so that's why I like these.
Builds on it year and year.
Yeah. He worked for it. And number two is Eastern State Penitentiary.
Oh, yeah.
And they call that Terror Behind the Walls. It's in right in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's another place that has five haunts. They have five bars, restaurants in there, which is kind of cool because it's like a big wheel. If you've ever been there, it's pretty impressive. And they do a flashlight tour, and they do paranormal investigations. They do the whole nine yards. Again, a place that put their things together, and they started building up pretty much when I started mine, and they've been doing it now. Had I stayed at the prison, I'd be there like, what, 23 years.
Right, so, yeah.
They've been doing it for 20-plus years. You have something you want to mention on that place?
Yeah, well, that penitentiary, that was that opened in 1829.
Yeah.
It's got so much history to it, and I think it shut down in 71, mm-hmm. I had here.
Yeah.
Some of the most well-known prisoners were convicted during that 142-year run. That haunted attraction during Halloween season, I think it was called Terror Behind the Walls.
It is.
Or it's called Halloween Nights.
No, it's called Terror Behind the Walls, yeah.
But was it Philadelphia area, right?
Philadelphia. Ghost Hunters had some amazing catches there
as well.
That
thing looks amazing.
Yeah. And my number one place They do haunted houses in haunted. We already talked about the Penhurst Asylum in Spring City, Pennsylvania, which is just about an hour or so north of Philadelphia.
Of that, yeah.
Yeah, that's an amazing place. So if you guys, anybody out there listening, they want to go to a haunted house inside a haunted place that's legitimately haunted, because they do, all these places do paranormal investigations as well throughout the year.
Right.
Those are my top three that you could go to. I'm sure people say, oh, there's other ones. I mean, we talk about the Queen Mary and stuff like that, but these are my subjective, my personal three. Now, just regular haunted houses, by that I mean, you know, places that just put on a great show. I have three in the state of Ohio, and then I'm going to talk about three in the country.
Okay.
And these are ones that I've experienced, so it's, again, it's my subjective list. Now, number three in Ohio, I'm going to do 3, 2, 1. Number three is in a place called West Pataskala, Ohio, which is basically Columbus.
Go Bucks.
Haunted Hoochie. At Dead
Haunted
Acres.
Hoochie.
The Haunted Hoochie. This place is not your atypical haunted house.
Okay.
This place is an adventure. They do some of the most outrageous, sick, and disgusting things, but it's all done with wild, crazy atmosphere. I mean, it's like it's almost its own, like a mini theme park. And I would tell anybody, just experience it one time, and it's worth it. But, I mean, it's not for everybody, but it stands out on its own so much. I had to put it there. Number
three. It's got originality to it.
Well, yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, they say they work hard to make you sick. So I mean, they got some really off the hook stuff there. And then that's a place where actors can touch you, but not, see, I don't like that into a period. But this place, they have a kind of an art form to it. You know, you get these places that have it, and they put the people they grab and they throw, you know, and they do silly stuff. Now, this place has an art form, and they've been doing it since day one. And this is another place where someone has taken it from ground zero and built it up, like when I did the 100%. So that's why I got a lot of respect on like these places. Sure. Now, they have the main hall, and then they have a second hall called Bad Trip in 3D, which is just a little fun thing. But yeah, Haunted Hoochie. Now, my number two in the state of Ohio. I bring it again, the Dent Schoolhouse in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is a terrific theme place. The sets are incredible. Now, this is more like your standard haunt you want to go to. There's an amazing backstory with a guy named Charlie, which is like a Freddy Krueger thing. But this place is cool. And these guys took this house over. Or it's really an old school, for real school. And they took this place over. I think a Boy Scouts were doing a thing in there, and it was not much. And they took this place over, and for the last, I think this is their 18th year, they have built this thing into one of the top places, not only in the state of Ohio, but in the country. But this is really Dent Schoolhouse. It would be worth the drive down there to check it out. And my number one place in the state of Ohio is a place that's in Canton, Ohio. It's called the Factory of Terror. Now, what's interesting is during my tenure at the prison, the haunted prison experience, these guys that have this place actually came to my haunt a couple times with their with their crew. They were just starting out.
Yeah.
And they built this thing up. It has five haunts. It has five bars. And the sets and design and flow is incredible. I mean, it's really cool. It's a very well done haunt, very overtly professional. And the interesting thing about it, not once, not twice, but three times, they hold the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest haunt.
Wow.
From beginning to end. You just start, we start at the beginning, by the time we get all the way through. Longest haunt.
It's a full night of entertainment.
Oh, you name it, they got it. They got everything.
You eat dinner there and all that.
Oh, they got it. You do it. And you know, we go through a couple of haunts. And you want to take a breather, you sit down at a bar, you get a little food, and then you start your haunting. I mean, it's very well. These guys are so off the hook professional.
Sounds
that's
awesome.
Great. They're great. Those are my three top haunts in Ohio. Now, we're going to talk about the three top haunts in the U.S. And as I get to them, I want to tell people this. I'm not counting the granddaddy of them all, Knott's Berry Farm, Knott's Scary Farm. We're not talking Cedar Point or Halloween. We're not talking about Halloween Horror Nights. Those are theme parks, a lot of different things. As a matter of fact, before I get into these, I want to talk to you. You actually worked and there are people be envious of this. Not only did you work the X-Files, but you worked Halloween Horror Nights out in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. I did two seasons of that.
Yeah.
Chainsaw Massacre. Mm. Props to the guy that did my makeup. He worked on a horror film Dee Snider did called Strange Days.
I saw that.
And he spent like an hour and a half. Like my whole face was ripped open. We had about 10 of us around the park. We all had assistants with us. We didn't touch people, but I had a real chainsaw. Mm-hmm. So when you fired that thing up, it was legit.
Well, you didn't have the blade on.
The blade.
You had the blade guard, but yeah. Yeah.
So the interesting thing, there's nothing more fun as an actor scaring people, right? And you go into the evening, and it gets dark, and it gets more intense throughout the night. And I'd have different places that I'd be at. And the best one was the Jurassic Park ride was one of those water rides.
Yeah.
And they're a gigantic boat, and you go down the conclusion of the ride is going down a huge hill. With a huge splash, everyone's soaked. And they come around this corner, and I would hide behind this pillar and lean over this rail with this chainsaw just blaring. And I had heard on more than one occasions people got wet more ways than one.
Good for you.
But the ironic thing with that gig was, at the time back then, Seagram's owned Universal.
Ah.
So at about 11, 12 o'clock at night, people are pretty hammered.
Sure.
So we had to actually have assistance, you know, with people pushing, actors getting hit.
Oh, yeah.
And 95% of us were all real legit actors in the industry out there. So we're bringing the craft, right?
Gotcha.
And I think it was Rob Zombie's haunted house, in one of the sound stages, there was an actor where he would pop his head out near people's lower legs out of this wall. And there was a dude that kicked him with combat boots and knocked out all of his front teeth one night.
Oh.
And it was like at times, like there was one person that would like really get hurt. I blew my knee out one year doing that too.
Yeah.
But the environment was fantastic. Same with a lot of the theme parks and in our local neck of the woods. You know, Cedar Point's doing a bang up job with Hollow Weekends, and what a great thing! And the cool thing with Cedar Point too, I had a friend or my sister just went last weekend. It's very family friendly in certain parts of the park too, so you can take kids earlier in the night in certain areas to experience the spookiness of Halloween.
Sure,
so. Fun stuff.
Which is a great segue for our top three, because these places are the whole nine yards. And now, some of these ones I already talked about could be in there, like Pennhurst or Dent could be up in this. But these are the three that I have found personally that are just incredible. Now, again, 3, 2, 1. Number three, 13th Gate, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Not only is it a great haunt, but the sets are incredible. I mean, they're basically movie sets.
Wow.
I mean, they just do, and the makeup is phenomenal. And another place that has escape rooms going on throughout the year. And great place. Secondly, a place that's out in Lee, New Hampshire. It's on the Merritt Hill Farm. And that's just north of Boston, Massachusetts, is Haunted Overload. Wow, that's all I can say on this place. It's outdoor, indoor, but unbelievable the work and effort. Again, these places start with zero and they build them up. I mean, they have actually had someone carve trees into beings and faces.
Is that where you got to go through that forest before you even get to the attraction?
You're in the forest almost the entire time, yeah.
You're getting scared prior to the thing really starting.
Oh, no, that's the next one. But okay, this one's very similar. I mean, the whole place is in the forest.
It's just nonstop.
Oh, this Haunted Overload. If you're out there, this is a place, a must for any haunted house aficionado. Now, again, these aren't the places that are actually haunted. These are just haunted houses.
Sure, sure.
My number one place, it's in Lockport, Illinois. It's Chicago, Illinois, basically a suburb of Illinois. It's a place called Hell's Gate. This place is unbelievable. It's a true place. You know, I know the guy. I met him years ago. He had a place called Statesville Haunted Prison in Statesville, Illinois. But it wasn't really, there's an actual prison called Statesville. This wasn't it. This was a warehouse he made look like a prison.
Oh, wow.
And he's got this acting troupe called Zombie Army. And I used to talk to him at all the shows. Incredible guy. Anyway, so he got this place, and it looked, probably was an old warehouse, but he made it look like an old Victorian mansion. 150 actors. I mean, it's actor heavy. It is an incredible place. The great place about this is you go to the joint and you go to the parking lot, or if you have to park at a different lot, and they have little shuttles that bring you over there, right? And what happens is they attack you from the minute in the parking lot to all the way. And you have to go through the parking lot, through a little woods and a graveyard before you even get to the main haunt. And then when you get to the main haunt, it's this huge Victorian structure that is just so intimidating. Matter of fact, they had this one character. It's this girl or woman, and she's dressed in this like black veil with this incredible makeup, carrying a lantern. It's the creepiest thing I've ever seen. And she didn't do anything. She just walks and looks at you.
Guide.
But my point is when you go into the place, and they can fit like 70, 80 people in the opening area. And they're opening rivals like Disney. I mean, the stuff that happens to you. It's a story about twins, and the twins fly over your head, and these things are coming out of walls, and there's this huge fireplace that opens by itself. It's the secret passage that takes you into the main haunt. They got all, I mean, it is incredibly detailed, really cool. And the coolest part is you get in this attic, and they have the three trunks you got to go through, a small, medium, and large. Of course, if you can't crawl around, they send you to the big trunk.
Okay.
And it's to get you to the area where you need to go down into the basement, where they have probably one of the coolest laboratories I've ever seen. But how do you get to the basement? You got to go by a slide.
Oh,
you slide. I mean, it's really neat. And you go out into this ending where they have these topiaries, and the topiaries come alive, and they've changed, typical chainsaw. But I mean, it's just really cool. Hell's Gate in Chicago. So those are my top three. If you just want to go to haunts. Now remember, so the other ones, Eloise, Eastern State, Penner's, those are places that are actually haunted paranormally that have haunts. And these other three, like I mentioned, 13th Gate, Haunted Overload, Hell's Gate are just haunted houses. So if you want to go to those, have fun, do that. And the ones in the state of Ohio, again, the Haunted Hoochie, Dent Schoolhouse, and Factory of Terror. Those for your Halloween treats. We're going to wrap this baby up, and we come right back here on Strange Occurrences. Welcome back, Strange Occurrences. Myron St. John.
Josh Ways. Thanks, guys.
And we wrap up our, I guess it's our Halloween episode. We talked about a lot of hauntings I had at the haunted prison experience during the haunt, which is why I used to say it's the where the supernatural meets special effects. And we talked about other haunts. We had fun with this episode. And I do want to remind people of this. When we were talking about when you worked the haunts as well, Josh.
Yes.
People get a little crazy. And do not touch the actors.
Now, you're getting paid to...
They really won't touch you unless you you pay or you want that option. But they're just there to have fun. Now, when you experience the supernatural as well in these haunts, sometimes you got to have an open mind. Did that really happen, or was that a special effect? You don't know, which makes it kind of unique.
Oh, yeah.
This is the time of year people like to go and investigate things, like to go to cemeteries and abandoned houses and things like that. Listen, like we always say, and we want to reiterate this, be respectful of both the living and the deceased. Get permission to be there because you're not supposed to be there. Be safe. And basically be polite, you know.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Enjoy the experience, but be safe.
And remember, we're all out there in this together doing things, investigating, looking at things. So, hey, just everybody just be safe and have fun and be nice to one another because we're all going to end up there someday. How about that? Well, listen, we hope you enjoyed the show.
Let me share your shirt real quick.
Oh, with the Edgar Allan Poe?
Nice quote. I became insane with the long intervals of horrible sanity.
That's true. Now, remember, everything we talked about on this show, like other shows, we've experienced and we know to be true, as I'm sure all of you have. So, again, have fun, be safe, and we'll have a surprise come up on our next episode, as we may or may not, we haven't decided yet, we may or may not wrap up season one here on Strange Occurrences. Until that time, Myron St. John.
Joshua Hayes, have a strange yet happy Halloween.
Oh, yes, because it's that time of year. And as we always say here, remember the most important rule of all. Be careful what you wish for, because it might just come true. See you next time on Strange Occurrences, and yeah, happy Halloween.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. What's that? What's that behind you?
That's my Josh. Have a great one, everybody. Bye.
Wasn't me.